Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
No jorts around here. I'm sorry, but it is. Maybe today we could do it because it's too damn Friday. This is a very, I guess you can say, food-friendly show at the heart of sports. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of beefs today. Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Gold Jr. holding it down. Stanford University, Notre Dame. We got college football out, but let's bring in the NFL. And all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, in about 10 minutes, I'm so excited because we will be joined by another star that will appear on ESPN Plus's megacast for the NFL Wildcard Weekend to get a set with her picks for the weekend. But first, let's get to our beefs, Junior, because boy, oh boy, they have been interesting today on our show. Let's start things off, though, with Ariel Helwani, our own ESPN MMA insider, and also Bill Stan, right next to, you know, Christine Lisi, the queen here of ESPN Radio. I feel like they're king and queen of Bill's Nation. He picked a bone with Marcus Spears because Marcus Spears basically was saying, hey, the field is really strong, even though, you know, I have Tom Brady pressure and all this type of stuff. But really, Bill's Mafia is just trying to find, you know, ways to motivate themselves. But my favorite beef today so far, and we were so lucky to have Tyler Cameron join us. Tyler C of The Bachelorette, and then also former Wake Forest player, a football player. He picked a bone with Junior, and Junior, like, have you fully recovered? Are you making a resolution this year? Besides losing weight, are you going to try to also, you know, maybe up your comeback game, you know, with the clapbacks and all that?
By the way, it sounds really mean when you say besides losing weight, because if people didn't know that that was a resolution I put out there, that would sound like we were body shaming out here, but that's not what happened. This is a very pro-thickness show.
We're very pro-thickness. But you said your goal is to lose just a small percentage or get back onto, you know, working out religiously. But when we talk about beefs, before we get to my Houston Texans, because they take the cake today, no pun intended, this is the beef that I was talking about with Tyler C. Hit it, Cliff.
You know what hasn't been close?
What?
Notre Dame in any college football playoff or bowl game, you know, BCS championship game.
Wow.
I got a number for you, Golick. 45. 45, the combined score of the Notre Dame playoff game against Alabama and the BCS game that you were a part of, the amount of points and the spread differential there. There needs to be a bowl ban from Notre Dame until they can get their crap together, maybe join a conference or something to play some real football.
Do you have a clapback or response yet? We'll give you time. We still have an hour left in our show.
I'm just saying, again, hearing these things from Wake Forest, I'll give you a number zero, the number of Wake Forest football games that anybody cared about this year.
Oh, keep that same energy. And as we take all the shade, why don't we go to one and done? Because the Houston Texans have got themselves in a beef of their own with one of their stars. So let's get to the pulpit and tell everyone what's going down in my city of H-Town.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And I feel like, Junior, we have to start this conversation because the Houston Texans have themselves in a bit of trouble, in a bit of hot water. I mean, the heat is on the stove here in all the wrong ways. Now, the Texans owner, Cal McNair, previously told Deshaun Watson that he would be involved as a star, the guy of the power that he sort of commands, that he'll be involved in the process of, you know, now the front office and listen to his voice, provided feedback in their search for a GM and head coach. And it also is coupled with the news, obviously one, that the GM there hire is Nick Cesario, of former Patriots experience, which I think looking at my timeline when it comes to the Houston Texans, everyone's like, we're not trying to be the Patriot of the South. I believe Nick said it himself. And so that's one decision that has been made. And then it is also coupled with the news that they are the only team, the Houston Texans, to not interview for head coach, someone that Deshaun Watson suggested in Eric Bieniemy, which makes sort of this bigger, greater conversation about, obviously you have a star player that I think any team in the NFL outside of maybe a few really would see extremely valuable. And you've created this situation where now, how do you move forward as an organization with this disconnect? Again, there's an opportunity for the head coach that has not been announced yet, and they're still searching feedback for. There's an opportunity to rectify this situation. But Junior, you know, overall, when it comes to stars and the relationships with front office, what are we seeing go down right now in my city of Houston when it comes to Deshaun Watson?
We're seeing something familiar, and I want to revisit a comparison you brought up before, Janae, because you mentioned James Harden and the Houston Rockets when Russell Westbrook was still on the team, apparently being kind of miffed at the idea that they weren't necessarily consulted when it came to some of the decisions the organization was going to make after Daryl Morey left town, after obviously they had fired Mike D'Antoni. I look at this and say, no disrespect to James Harden, but We've seen he's a guy that might be difficult. We've heard things coming out from behind closed doors that might indicate that there were parts of James Harden that affected that situation. A lot of the same way you look at the Eagles and Carson Wentz and say he has absolutely made some of his bed. What has Deshaun Watson done for the Houston Texans besides go out there and ball in the face of nothing but uncertainty, bad trades, and change, Shanae?
He's done great, and I would say he's even done great for the community as well. He always steps up when there's some type of situation, a catastrophe. The community needs help. So, yeah, he's done everything and then some.
So I look at this and say, yes, Cal McNair came out and said, quote, "I've come to understand that it's been reported Deshaun feels left out of the process, but he and I had several visits and I understood his point of view before meeting with candidates. I've reached out to Deshaun about Nick's hire, and I look forward to him getting back to me when he returns from his vacation." Chinay, I even will kind of extend some grace there and look at the situation, because Deshaun maybe is a little bit sick and tired of whatever bootleg version of the Patriot way the Texans were trying to acquire, as they called it, the Texans way, which also seems like it's kind of bite and swag in that way. But, you know, we'll let that one go. When you talk about the input from your star player, we understand this isn't the NBA where LeBron James can help build a team, can have so much overt influence on something because of the role that one player can play. But, man, when your quarterback comes in and says, "Hey, I like this coach a lot, maybe we could think about interviewing him. I think he's a guy that could help," that he's probably heard all about in offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy from his buddy Patrick Mahomes, you think the least you could do is not be the only team that Adam Schefter reports hasn't reached out to Buddy about interviewing for the job. And, Shanae, to me, that almost is a level of disrespect that I could look at the situation and say, how does that not feel intentional when you're the only bleeping one?
And that is a level of disrespect. And I think it's really interesting, because if you think about how these hires have been announced and how Deshaun Watson has figured them out, it's via social media, not being included in knowing that this is the guy, at least per the reports. And you know what happened that sort of set the table for his feelings and emotions? And I think I can't remember the tweet you brought up that involved Big Brother, but he sort of discovered the DeAndre Hopkins trade the same way. And that affected him, because that literally affects his prospects for success on the field. And so I feel like overall, the Houston Texans, while they have made mistakes and they continue to figure out ways to salvage seasons when they have tied their hands behind their back when it comes to picks in the future and now trying to figure out what they have, being able to enable a star to shine like Deshaun Watson, I do feel like there's still an opportunity, because guess what? When he does come back, you have to have the conversation saying, if you matter to us, we will hear you out and we'll actually do something to show that we're moving forward together. And I think that's the same thing that the Rockets tried to do, but guess what? It was too little, too late. How old is Deshaun Watson? He's got to be like 25 or something like that. James Harden is what, 31 years old? There's still time on the clock for the Texans to figure this out.
What we asked was, what do franchises owe their star players? What do they owe the best player in the building? Because a lot of people will say, you know what, it's their job to go out there and play that position, and the organization has people to make decisions. But when you're the Texans, relative to your situation, and this can go extend to any situation, this could have applied to James Harden, how this could apply to Carson Wentz, and what we saw with the Eagles this past weekend. Communication. Clear and concise communication and an understanding of what the other is thinking. And hell, that might count double for a Houston Texans team that basically has nothing else going for it at this point besides Deshaun Watson. When we talk about the desirability of this job, it basically begins and ends with, well, you get Deshaun Watson as your quarterback under contract control. So I think the very least you can do is communicate, listen to, and communicate back with your star player in a way that shows value. Because, again, I don't know of any successful relationship that's ever gotten by with one side saying, you know what, I'm just not going to listen to the other person involved in this relationship and carry on doing things the way I want to.
Big facts. They better not fumble the bag on this one. That's all I'm saying. I'm speaking for the 281, the 832, the 713. They better not fumble the bag. That's it.
Let's hope that's not the case. And those snaps aren't for the Houston Texans at this point, because they have not earned those snaps. They are just to remind you that around here, when one and done happens, we like to reward people with good snaps. Now, coming up next, we will look towards the competent organizations that are representing the NFL in the Super Wild Card Weekend coming up right now. And we'll go back to one quarterback whose name has been on everybody's tongue about who has the most pressure going into this weekend. We'll do that next. It's Chinay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Angola Jr., the podcast.
Two words. End zone. Friend zone. We play our favorite game in about 10 minutes. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. It's Shanae Ogwumike of Stanford University, Mike Golic Jr., former offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. And in that spirit, before we get to our lovely guests who will break down wildcard weekend, what is the breaking news that we just have right now? Junior, take it away.
Oh, man, look at God smiling down on us right now. Notre Dame football's Twitter account just announced, please welcome the new Bob Hinton defensive coordinator slash linebacker coach, Marcus Freeman, the former defensive coordinator for the University of Cincinnati Bearcats, who's been a part of Luke Fickell's staff there, has done an outstanding job. Anybody who has watched the monster that Cincinnati has built has seen defensive talent, NFL talent on that side of the field shine. Listen, this is an incredible hire for them. Marcus Freeman's 34 years old. They've got a really young coordinator duo at Notre Dame. And for a school that was, listen, a tough loss of Clark Lee, their defensive coordinator, going back home to Vanderbilt to become a head coach, this is a home run hire for the Irish this offseason.
I mean, who said the Group of Five can't make the college football playoff because we're seeing it happen with their hire. So shout out. This is really impressive. But now let's get to our lovely guests, because right now we're delighted to be joined right now by Laura Rutledge of ESPN NFL. Live on the Goodyear Hotline. She will be on ESPN's first NFL wildcard megacast, which expands to include ESPN Plus. We're so excited as we combine forces to super serve all fans for Baltimore at Tennessee on January 10th during Super Wildcard Weekend. ESPN Plus, Between the Lines main, it will give you so much. It will give you real-time analysis, in-game analytics, odds discussions in a really crazy and fun, innovative format. So Laura, I'm so excited because I got to see you yesterday via Zoom, and I can't wait for that to be displayed. But then now we get to see you again on this megacast, but this weekend is so huge. But first and foremost, Laura, Happy New Year. Hope you're doing well.
Happy New Year. I feel like I just saw both of you, which I really did. And yes, you're right. That's going to have to make it. We're giving just dramatic teases for something that nobody knows anything about yet. But it's great to now be talking to you guys after seeing you last night. And Happy New Year to you guys and everybody out there.
And I know you'll be very happy to hear that Tyler C. of The Bachelorette fame did just slander Junior on the show, so you would have enjoyed that. I'll send you the clip of that for after the show.
Yes, send me that clip ASAP.
I got you. But, you know, the big question entering the NFL playoffs this weekend, everyone's talking about pressure. And while we talk about, you know, aging quarterbacks, whether that's Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady and the pressure there, a lot of people talk about Lamar Jackson, how he has pressure to deliver, even though Junior has brought up the point that this man has been to three playoffs in his first few seasons. So do you think Lamar is that guy that still has a lot of pressure?
You know, I would actually say that if you talk to Lamar, the person who puts the most pressure on Lamar actually is Lamar himself, right? So all these Ravens fans or doubters of Lamar who are like, ah, this guy doesn't win in the playoffs, he's putting more pressure on himself than anybody else is. And that's because he demands excellence out of himself all the time. And so I do think that it eats at him that he didn't get those playoff wins. And he's been one and done now a couple times in his experience. But it's such a small sample size in what I believe will be such a great career for Lamar Jackson. And I think this year will be different. I mean, some of it has to do with the fact that he's playing such great football right now and has been over these past few weeks. But also it has to do with the fact that the Titans defense is historically bad. So I will say this, if somehow the Ravens lose this game, it may be worse than any of their other losses in the playoffs, just because it's against this defense that has been so bad. But I think that Lamar thrives under the pressure that he puts on himself, because that's how he's always been. Even going all the way back to high school, that's how he was. He's always been the guy that people doubted could really play quarterback, and he's continued to prove people so wrong at every single step of the way.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to Laura Rutledge, host of ESPN's NFL Live, and also you can check out on SEC Nation every week. And Laura, these teams met earlier in the season. Tennessee got a 30-24 win. So I'm curious for you. You mentioned that defense for Tennessee historically bad, but if they are to pull off the win in this situation, how do you guys, as you'll be watching this game and dissecting every angle of it, how do you see a path to victory for Tennessee if they're going to pull it off?
Yeah, I mean, I think the path to victory rides squarely on Derrick Henry's shoulders. And just, you know, he can be, as we've seen, he's so crazy because he's always good, right? But he gets better as the game goes along, and he can really wear a defense down. And so I do think that you know, that's the way that, that the Titans can win this game. And look, Tannehill would have to play really well, which I think he can. A.J. Brown seems like he's going to be okay, even though he's missed some practice this week. That's where, you know, listen, you do a great combination of just pounding that rock with Derrick Henry and trying to stretch the field with A.J. Brown, which he's capable of. And I think that could really put them in a situation to be right in it. Look, I think this game's going to be great. I think it's going to be back and forth. I think it's going to be close, guys, especially considering the fact that both of these rushing attacks are the best in the NFL and really like one and two in every single category. So you know that you're going to get a heavy dose of that, and it's really going to come down to which defense can limit the opposing offense's run game the best.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about one and two, Laura, it's really fascinating because the dialogue when it comes to this NFL season, it sort of seems crazy, but like the Kansas City Chiefs have been flying under the radar, not making many headlines besides providing wins. Do you think, though, because the Bills, there's a lot of energy when Buffalo has been able to put up big numbers. Do you think that the Bills are actually the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs when they're trying to repeat?
I do. And in fact, you know, if somebody was asking me if I had to pick a team to come out of the wild card round to win the Super Bowl, I'd pick the Bills, which means they'd have to get past the Chiefs, right? So I do think that what the Bills offense can do is scary, because when you talk about the Chiefs, you got to say which offense could go toe to toe with a team like that and with an offense like that. And to me, it would be the Bills. And we've seen that lately. I mean, I get it. You know, they were playing against the Dolphins team that doesn't have necessarily the same level of talent, but it's still an NFL defense and they scored 56 points on them. It's unbelievable. And some of that was with backups, right? So what this Bills offense is doing, what Brian Daboll has them schemed up to do, and just the connection between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and all their weapons, they have so many options there. Even when they don't have their full arsenal, it's like there's somebody who comes out of the woodwork and plays well and allows them to get this offense really rolling. So I think the Bills are a scary team in the playoff for anybody, in the playoffs for anybody that's going to face them. And I think they could also be scary for those Chiefs.
It's certainly been a high-powered outfit all year long. I know Dan Orlovsky, who's with you every day on NFL Live, has been super high on them on the Dan wagon for a lot of this season. So, Laura, we mentioned Dan. We know we saw Mina Kimes on set with you today. Marcus Spears, you guys are all going to be involved. So what can we expect from this crew and the Megacast coming up this Sunday?
Yeah, so our Megacast at 1 p.m. on Sunday on ESPN Plus, which, of course, all you have to do is just get the ESPN app and you can watch it there. It's called Between the Lines, and that is kind of twofold because we're going to be doing a lot of analytics and a lot of next-gen stats and looking at the game from the standpoint of being predictive and as things are happening, you know, guessing what should happen next and telling why we think they should go for two based on what the numbers say, but also our own experience and our own knowledge about the game. And then we're incorporating the Daily Wager set out in Vegas. So they're going to be giving you live, you know, as lines are changing based on things happening in the game, prop bets, things that you should be paying attention to from the sports betting world will be another part of this broadcast. So really a different viewing option for somebody who is interested in the kind of nitty gritty stats and also a little bit of a different feel for a game broadcast and also the daily wager side of things and the sports betting side.
It's all going to be such an entertaining watch, and for anyone that's tuned into NFL Live during the course of the season, you know you're not going to want to miss it. One of the most fun shows you're going to watch on TV and one of the smartest to go along with it. Laura, we really appreciate the time. We're looking forward to the Megacast this weekend, and we'll talk to you again really soon, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Laura Rutledge with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, now we've gotten Laura talking about Wild Card Weekend. We've got Marcus talking about Wild Card Weekend. We've let Tyler from The Bachelor come in and slander me while giving us his picks. Coming up next, we tell you finally, definitively, end zone or friend zone, who to watch for going into NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll do that next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. As Laura Rutledge said, just get the ESPN app, you know, put in your information and you can watch us anytime you want. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Now, Jr., I'm really excited because we always play this game, end zone, friend zone, but I feel like this time around, This really matters because if people don't go the distance, guess what? You go home. Are you ready for this?
We're playing for the ultimate prize. Like, it's legitimately the postseason now, and the ultimate prize is a ring. It's the one thing that you always talk about on this show and make very clear that you're looking for. So, yes, I am ready
different
to
type,
see.
Different type, but yes.
Different, but the same. But yes, I'm ready to go.
Let's go, Cliff. We're ready.
As millennials, one of the greatest triumphs in life is watching someone make it out of the friend zone. You're hoping, wishing.
You're strategizing.
And that's what we're going to try and do here this weekend. We want to get everyone ready for this weekend in the NFL.
End zone or friend zone.
Let you know who's going to end up in the friend zone or the end zone when it comes to this NFL Sunday.
Friend zone to the
end zone. All right, Chanae. We got end zone, friend zone, super wild card edition. We're going to go through. We're going to do all six games. We're going to pick. And you and I are going to pick these games, Chanae, this weekend with the spread to try and figure out and keep track. We had Tyler Cameron on, former Bachelorette runner-up, to come and give his picks for the weekend. So now you and I are going to get ready to go. Are you good?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, Cliff, what's the first game we got?
Colts at Bills.
All right, we got Colts at Bills coming up this weekend in the first round of the Super Wild Card weekend. The Colts are getting 6 points. So Buffalo's 6-point favorites going into this weekend. Ariel Helwani and the Bills Mafia fired up. Chanae, end zone, friend zone, who you got?
I'm taking the Bills into the end zone, especially Josh Allen, because I believe he was just fresh named second team All-Pro, and this is crazy. He has more passing yards than Aaron Rodgers this season and more passing touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes, so I feel like his hot streak really was a point made and well-served coming off of Miami and trying to carry that momentum into the first round.
Chanae, I am riding with you. I'm taking the Bills and the points on this one right now, and I'll tell you why. I saw ESPN Stats and Info does a great job putting out information. And they said the Colts, they blitzed only on 18% of their dropbacks this season as a defense, the second lowest in the league. And so maybe different look. Josh Allen was blitzed 36% of the time. That's the third highest in the NFL. The problem is when Josh Allen was blitzed, he had the second highest QBR in the NFL. When Josh Allen wasn't blitzed, he had the third highest QBR in the NFL. So either way you slice it, this Bills offense has been deadly, and I'm rocking with them as we go along on this season. Now, we've got that one in the bag. Chanae and I both on top with the Bills. Cliff, what's the next game that we've got coming up here?
Rams at Seahawks.
Rams at Seahawks coming up. Chanae, this one obviously division rivals getting set to go. Seahawks, a 3-point favorite in this one. End zone, friend zone. Who you got, Chanae?
Look, I'm going to have to put in the friend zone Jared Goff, John Wolford. I know there's a lot of hope, especially for the Rams, but I am kind of buying into this idea that the Seahawks defense has stepped up. Now, Jared Goff, if he's able to be out there, I know Sean McVay has said, I'm not going to release it until I have to. Who's starting? Goff was second in the league with 17 turnovers, and the Seahawks are tied for sixth in the most takeaways in the NFL this season, so their defense has ratcheted up later on the season. I'm going with the Hawks.
All right, Chanae's got the Seahawks in game two. I am going to go. I think the Seahawks win this game, so I'm going to put them in the end zone. But I'm going to go Rams with the points. Rams getting 3 and 2 teams in a division that's just weird as all hell. Again, I cannot stress enough, there has never been a normal game played by the Seattle Seahawks. And so I'm going to continue to rock with that and say this one's going to be down to the wire. The Seahawks get a narrow win the way they won last weekend, and we keep it moving in the playoffs. Cliff, what's the next game we got coming up?
Tampa Bay at Washington.
All right, Chanae. This was the one we talked about before. Big upset potential. Tampa Bay, 8-point favorites on the road against the Washington football team that gets to host a playoff game because the NFC East. End zone, friend zone, who you got here today?
I am not betting against Brady. I can't do it. Not going to be able to do it. I mean, since the Kansas City game, the Buccaneers have gone 4-0 and averaged 37 points per game. They're putting points on the board, even though the defense and Chase Young, you got to love the confidence in the moxie. I'm going with the Bucs in this one. End zone, the GOAT and their offense.
You know what? I feel like life's not fun unless you root for a little chaos.
Oh!
And we said early in the show, an underdog of at least 6 points has won on each of the last 3 wild card weekends. I'll take the Washington football team in the upset.
Ooh.
I'll say in this game, Tom Brady has been a markedly, markedly different quarterback under pressure. This year, the last 4 games of his season were the best numbers in his career. Completion percentage, passing yards, yards per attempt, passing touchdowns. With no pressure, his QBR was 90. That's 6th in the league over that stretch. When he was under pressure, it drops to 5.8. a precipitous drop, and he's going up against a Washington football team defense that was fifth in pass rush win rate, was top 10 in sack rate and pressure rate this season, and brings the heat in every part of that D-line. Anytime they've been pressured above their usual rate this season, Shanae, the Tampa Bay Bucs are 1-5. I'm going to rock with the upset on this one. Why not? Be a little spicy. What's the worst
like
that happens?
That.
I'm wrong.
I like that.
What do
I
we
like
got
that.
Next, Cliff?
Ravens and Titans.
All right, Ravens at Titans coming up this weekend. Today, this is the game, our mega cast coming up on ESPN. Everyone going to be a part of there. This one, Tennessee getting 3 points in this game. The Ravens 3-point favorite. Who you got, Shanae?
Look, I like what Laura Rutledge said in that a lot of pressure on Lamar, but Lamar puts the pressure on himself. And I feel like this is the time he gets over the hump, especially in the postseason. Even though I'm putting Derrick Henry in the end zone for this crazy season he's had, I still have the Ravens with the win.
I have the Ravens with the win as well, and I'm going to do the Ravens and the points on that one. Again, giving 3 to Tennessee, I think they win by more than that. They're playing hot down the stretch, and Mina Kimes, who's going to be on that megacast, pointed out a lot of it because their O-line has managed to completely reinvent and reinvigorate itself down the stretch. What do we got next, Cliff?
Bears and Saints.
Saints, 10-point favorites in this one, Shanae. This feels like a pretty easy pick. I'm going to go right out and say I'm going end zone all day. The Saints give the Bears all the points they want. I think they blow out in this one. On the Saints' 10-game winning streak down the stretch of the season, Shanae, any guess what their average margin of victory is?
Bruh.
10.5 points. Give me the Saints. Give me them winning big. End zone or friend zone. Who you got, Shanae?
And I'm going to put Alvin Kamara into the end zone just because he's a guy that's a top-tier talent. I know there was a little drama the last few weeks, but he's someone we don't talk enough about, and I feel like he's going to be all over dancing in the end zone or doing the gritty. The gritty, baby.
Doing the gritty. We've seen lots of the gritty, and let's end with some real grit on the stretch here, Cliff. Last game.
Browns at Steelers.
Ooh, we know the uphill battle the Browns are getting ready to face, Shanae. The Browns 6-point dogs to the Steelers in this one. We know a host of COVID-19 complications, including their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, not able to be there. So, Shanae, end zone, friend zone, who you got here?
For those reasons, I'm going to put the Steelers in the end zone for the game, but I'd also like to put Browns fans in the end zone just for moral participation points for pushing through a season and breaking that curse for 22 years.
Yeah, Shanae, I'm with you. I don't think there's any way in good conscience I can pick the Browns to win this outright. But 6 points is a lot, and I'll take the Browns with the points on that against the Steelers team that has almost led the league in drop percentage this year for Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. That receiver room has struggled at times to hold on to the football, and they need them in this dink and dunk short area passing game to step up. But I think that Steelers defense ultimately too much. That is our weekend preview. It's brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. So we got our picks. We'll make sure to get those lined up. We're going to be honorable, us and Tyler Cameron, picking going through the NFL postseason here to let you guys know what we've got. So we will do all of that. And coming up, we'll show you the worst thing you can do is make offensive line Twitter, the big boy Twitter, mad. Someone poked the bear today. We'll tell you who next. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Friday, and I'm so grateful. We are so grateful that family came through today. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, Janae Ogumake and Mike Golick Jr. We have to thank the family that came through. I'm speaking of Tyler C., Tyler Cameron of the Bachelorette fame, and also former Wake Forest quarterback who roasted Junior. But he also gave us his picks for the Super Wild Card weekend. We also had Ariel Helwani of ESPN MMA Insider here all over our network who broke down, also Bill Stan, why the Bills are the best underdogs out there. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, also of NFL Live, who told us why Tom Brady and older quarterbacks, you know, how they're dealing with the pressures of this season so far. And of course, Laura Rutledge, ESPN NFL Live, just there with Marcus Spears and also of SEC Nation. And those two will be on a great megacast this weekend. Who put the most pressure on Lamar? You will be surprised by her answer. You can check out all those conversations on our podcast. But I really was touched, and we were very honored to also be joined by Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager. And we started today on a very somber note after the news that Tommy Lasorda, the Hall of Fame manager who guided the Dodgers to two World Series titles, an ambassador for the sport, he had passed away. And Tommy spent 71 years with the franchise, the Dodgers franchise, and Dave Roberts joined us, and he spoke to us earlier on what Tommy meant to the Dodgers organization overall.
You know what? He was just essentially, you know, the glue, a thread to the old, to the current, you know, and his love for baseball, the Dodgers, and his love for players really transcended decades, you know, and generations. And I think for me, the Dodger way and his passion for life, and I'll tell you, Mike, he was still so sharp to the end, man. I mean, the stories that he could tell and the things that he could recount, man, he was as fiery as ever. And fortunately, a lot of the stuff was in my office, so we could kind of filter it and it wouldn't get out. But I'll tell you, man, it was just great just talking baseball with him.
And, Shanae, I think that's going to be the memories for a lot of people when we talk to Dave Roberts, just seeing the way he interacted with so many people still on that team. Dave mentioned the way that he was able to really connect with younger players on that squad, guys that we've seen be stars on that World Series run that Tommy Lasorda also got to take in person, which was huge.
Yeah, and I think that's what we really like to celebrate, and Dave said it himself. It's the energy and the legacy and the joy and the passion and the love he had for his players and his team and his organization overall, and I think that brings tremendous more meaning to this World Series title that they just brought back to Los Angeles where I'm sitting right now. So obviously no easy transition from that to where we're going next, but again, the energy and positivity, just like the life and living legacy of Tommy Lasorda, carries on, and as we look into the weekend, a very busy weekend, we will continue to keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy, Janae, I've always said, offensive line Twitter is a very unique place, and it's one you don't want to go hunting for a fight. The NFL All-Pro voters seem to have gone there for a fight. The AP announced its NFL All-Pro team, which is very different. It's voted on by the media, the writers, unlike the Pro Bowl votes, which have a little more fan involvement, a bit of a different formula. These are big deals because they tend to impact so much about the legacy. There's sometimes contractual bonuses that apply for things like this. And so You look at the list. Aaron Rodgers, your quarterback, which might let you know where the MVP conversation is leaning as he's the first-team All-Pro. Derrick Henry at running back, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. Travis Kelce, one of the unanimous selections on this group here. Not surprising with what he had. Dan Orlovsky called him the best player in the NFL. David Bakhtiari at left tackle, Quentin Nelson at guard, Corey Lindsey at center, Brandon Scherff at right guard, and Jack Conklin at right tackle. Now, between that and Garrett Bowles at left tackle on the second team today, guys like Teron Armstead's names not being in there, I can assure you Big Boy Twitter was especially fired up this morning about this. Guys like Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle for the Tampa Bay Bucks that are about to get ready for this playoff matchup that I picked them to lose against the Washington football team.
Uh-oh.
And so you can imagine Big Twitter was especially sweaty earlier today.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you do? What do you say to all the O-line haters out there, Junior? To rest your case.
I say that we need to get more big voices in the media involved in this AP voting, Janae, to make sure that the large men are properly represented as we go down the stretch on these important things. And Janae, just because I like to bother you going into the weekend, we do have one more thing, bit of business from the NC2A. The NCAA men's basketball tournament announced their health protocols that include 7 negative COVID-19 tests as well as contact tracing devices and more. Chinee, is any of this making you change your tune about the NCAA's constant back padding when it comes to the NCAA tournament?
Why do you keep putting me in this position? I don't like that this is rubbing off on me. You and your negativity when it comes to collegiate athletics. I mean, we're here fighting for the athletes, but look. Oh, that's cute. We want 7 negative tests before you come in and compete. Bro, what about the people that are struggling to compete right now? I'm done.
Keep telling us about down the road and ignoring the here and now, a tradition unlike any other with the NCAA.
Do we have anything else?
No, we've got nothing else, Janae. We've got good feelings going into this weekend. We've got a mega cast going on Sunday for the NFL Wild Card Week. And again, you can check out Laura Rutledge, Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, and more, all holding it down for you, all the advanced looks at Tennessee's matchup against the Ravens on Sunday.
Spain and Fitz coming up next. Hey, guys, we had a bachelorette runner-up body Junior. Please talk about that in the open of your show because I know Junior is going to be there in a few minutes.
Oh, believe me, if I know Jason Fitz and Sarah Spain like I think I do, they won't miss an opportunity to let me hear it and let me have it. They're coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.